Robin. Good evening, folks. The time has come. Welcome to North Gainesville Baptist Church, the friendliest church in North Florida. Let's all take our songbooks, turn to page 16, and we'll sing all the verse, page 16. Chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. Never walk alone, always feel at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you, while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise, don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Man, good to be in church tonight. Rather be in church than the hospital, I can tell you that. I can tell you that. Thank God for the good church. Thank you for calling and texting and praying for my wife the last couple of days. We certainly appreciate it. Angie's home recovering. Lord willing, she'll be able to get back to work on Monday. But thank God that everything went out smooth. And just thank God that she's okay by the grace of God and still with us. And by the grace of God, she'll be back with us hopefully next Wednesday. And let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy. Lord, there's no secret what God can do. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you for taking care of my wife. Thank you for your mercy in that, Lord. And Lord, we know it could be a lot worse, but God, you do all things well. And Lord, like I said Sunday, you're always good and you're always in control. And I just pray, God, that you continue to heal her. Lord, others, Lord, who are maybe struggling tonight in some way, physically, financially, spiritual, God, that you would work in their lives. Thank you, God, that you never slumber nor sleep, that you understand our deep heartaches and pains and sorrows. You know us well. You understand us, Lord, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to trust you more, to lean on you, God, to learn of you more. Through this life that you've given us, Lord, that's like a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanisheth away. While we have this time in this world, God, help us to honor you, glorify you, be used of you, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Don't forget a couple of things, of course. Don't forget, ladies, the baby shower. If you could help out after church just for a few moments to help out setting things up for Saturday's baby shower for Miss Caitlin. I know that ladies would appreciate it. Birthday recognition on the 7th. Don't forget that. We'll try not to forget that. April 12th, ladies, we'll have the Phoebe spring auction. So you can sign up for all that kind of stuff there in the back. Churchwide visitation coming up on the 13th. The 14th, we'll have a pie social. Men will have a fish fry. Looking forward to that on Saturday morning, the 20th at noon. And again, on the 27th, I believe 7 days later, I believe we're having our annual spring cleanups. If you put that on your calendar, April's kind of a busy month. If you haven't had your picture taken for our director, let me encourage you to do so. See Miss Tia for that. If you haven't yet turned in your faith promise slip, support missions, let me encourage you to do so. We're about right now, we're about $1,000 before we can support our current missionaries. So if you haven't turned in your faith promise slip, let me encourage you to do so. We definitely want to be able to at least to support our current missionaries, and by the grace of God, some more. This has been going on since our missions conference, which was about a month ago. So we've been doing this faith promise encouragement drive for about a month. So let me encourage you to do that as soon as possible. We'd love to be able to support more missionaries. I just think the last words of Jesus, to make disciples should be one of the most important things we do, is supporting things that go out, help folks go out and give the gospel to other people. And I hope we'll all do that. Brother Chuck.
Take your songbooks, turn to page 115. Page 115, we'll sing first, second, and last verse.
I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver. Make up my troubles quickly and I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
On the last.
Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me. Over the world, the victory to I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Boy, it's nice we don't have to worry about stuff. We can just turn it over to Him.
Amen.
Let's shake hands.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man. All right, as we find our way back to our seats, let's take a song. Let's turn to page 477. 477, we'll sing first, second, last verse of page 477.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
On the last.
When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
How wonderful our Lord is. The solid rock. Because all other ground is sinking sand. Brother Jimmy, would you pray for our tithes and offerings?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house again this Wednesday evening. We thank you for the rain you gave us to help our grass and our lawn and our everything else grow. We are thankful for the solid rock you are. If we hadn't rely on ourselves, it would just be sinking sand. Give the offering about to take, multiply it, use it as you see fit.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Miss Robin. Take your Bible, if you would, this evening, and turn to Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 3 tonight, as we're working through our way through the book of Nehemiah. We've done Ezra, Nehemiah, and by the grace of God, next we'll be going in Esther. But we're early on in the book of Nehemiah. This godly man, who's a cupbearer for the king, who got concerned about his homeland, eventually, after they've been in captivity for 70 years, sees the plight that they're in, decides to do something about it. And so we're reading about this godly man and the walls that need to be rebuilt, and now the teamwork that's going to be done because of his leadership. Nehemiah chapter 3, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it, set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Meah. They sanctified it under the tower of Hezanel. The next unto him builded the men of Jericho. The next them builded Sakur, the son of Imri, the fish gate to the son of Hasaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof. The next unto them repaired Meronoth, the son of Irajai, the son of Kaz. The next unto them repaired Mishalem, and the son of Berechiah, the son of Mishezerabel. The next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Benaiah. The next unto them, the Tohokites, repaired. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Over the old gate repaired Jehadiah, the son of Peshiah, and Meshalam, the son of Beshadiah that laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. The next unto them repaired Maaliah the Gibeonite and Gadon the Maronite and the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah and the throne of the governor on this side of the river. Next unto them repaired Uziel the son of Harariah of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah the son of one of the apothecaries. It fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. The next unto them repaired Rephaiah, the son of Hur, ruler of the half parts of Jerusalem. Next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Hephriph, even against the house. And next unto him repaired Hatshush, the son of Hashabiniah. The Hakoniah, the son of Hazum, and Hazub, the son of Pathalubiab, repaired the other piece in the tower of the furnaces. And next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Hashish, the ruler of half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters in the valley gate repaired Hanan, the inhabitants of Zonai, built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. With the dung gate repaired Malachiah and the son of Rechab, the ruler part of Bashariah. He built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, put the gate of the fountain, repaired Shalun, son of Kozavas, and ruler of the Mizpah. He built it, covered it, set up the doors thereof, locks thereof, the bars thereof, the wall of the pool of Shiloh, by the king's garden, and unto the stairs that go down to the city, from the city of David. After him repaired Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the ruler of the half part of Bajor, the place over against the sepulchres of David, and to the pool that was made unto the house of the mighty. After him repaired the Levites, Rephram of the son of Bani. Next unto him repaired Hashbiah, ruler of the half part of Keilah, in his part. And after him repaired brethren, Bavai, the son of Hindad, the ruler of half part of Keilah. The next to him repaired Ezer, the son of Joshua, the ruler of Mizpah, another piece over against the going up to the armory at the turning of the wall. After him, Barku, the son of Zabdi, certainly repaired another piece from the turning to the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. And after him repaired Minop, the son of Uriah, the son of Kaz, another piece from the door of the house of Eliashib, even the end of the house of Eliashib. And after him repaired the priest, the men of the plain. After him repaired Benjamin, the Hashab, over against their house. And after him repaired Ariziah, the son of Meshachiah, the son of Aniah, by the house. And after him repaired Benai, the son of Hanadad, another piece, the house of Ariziah, turning of the wall, even to the corner. Palal, the son of Uzai, over against the turning of the wall, and the tower with lieth out from the king's high house was that was by the court of the prison. After him, Padiah, the son of Perosh, over the Nithiams, dwelt at Opal, unto the place over against the water gate towards the east, in the tower that lieth out. And after them, Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out, even to the wall of Opal. From above the horse gate repaired the priests, every one over against the house. Verse 29, and them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against the house. After him repaired also Shimei, the son of Zechariah, the keeper of the east gate. And after him repaired Hanani, the son of Shelmini, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalphath. Another piece, after him repaired Mishalem, the son of Bershani, over against the chamber. And after him repaired Machiah, the goldsmith's son, the place of the Nephiims, and against the merchants, over against Mithkad, and to the going up of the corner. In between the going up of the corner, unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. I'm glad that is over. Let us pray. Father, thank you for these dear folks who did a great work. I don't know their names, but you sure do. And we're grateful that someday we will meet many of these dear people who did a great work for you. Help us, Lord, to be people that are busy doing your work in your church. And we'll be grateful and thankful for all that you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever read directions on products you buy? Last couple of days, I've been reading a lot of directions for medications and trying to figure out what this medication is, what that medication is, what that medication is. One thing for sure in a hospital, if you're in a hospital, you need somebody as an advocate for you. I hope if you are in the hospital very long, wherever hospital you're in, you have folks that are help you to understand what's going on. But reading directions on some of these products is sometimes confusing. And any type of product that you have, I heard about on the Tesco's tiramisu dessert, it said, do not turn upside down. And where do you think that was written? On the bottom. It was too late. On Marks and Spencer's bread pudding, it says, product will be hot after heating. Naturally. On a bottle of Boots Children cough medicine, it says, do not drive a car after taking this medication. On Nitel sleep aid, warning, may cause drowsiness. On a child Superman costume, wearing this garment does not enable one to fly. One interesting direction that I read was by this journal that was put out, and it said the British needed to more carefully read the directions on the use of a special gun that NASA simply calls the chicken gun. This gun has been specially built to launch a dead chicken at maximum velocity directly into the windshield of airliners, military jets, and even space shuttle. The idea is to stimulate the frequent incidents of collisions with airborne fowl to test the strength of the windshield's materials and construction. British engineers heard about the gun and wanted to use it to test windshield of their newest high-speed train. Arrangements were made and a gun was sent to the British engineers. The testing site was arranged and the gun was located with dead chicken. When the gun was fired, the engineers stood shocked as the chicken hurled out of the barrel, smashed through the shatterproof windshield, blasted through the control console, broke the engineer's backrest in two, and embedded itself in the back wall of the cabin. The horrified British sent NASA the disastrous results of the experiment, explaining what they had done, along with the designs of the windshield, and then asked for further suggestions. NASA responded with one line instruction: next time, thaw the chicken. Directions matter. I hope you are someone that reads directions. Every week, or every given week, it is said in America there's over 70 churches that close its doors. And I think a lot of that is because people are not following directions. Simply not following the Word of God. When we as individuals or as couples or as a church do not follow the directions of the Word of God, we are going to fail. And it's just the truth of it. So what does the Bible say about the church? What is the church? Well, it's defined as a church is what is called out from the world. The word church actually comes from the word ecclesia, which comes from the verb kalu, which means to call, prefix ek, which means to call out. We're the called out ones. So we're called out of the world. But secondly, not only called out of the world, we're commissioned to go back, to go into the world. The Bible specifically tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And it is thirdly, the church is compared to a living body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. If one foot say, because I'm not of the hand, am I not of the body? Is that therefore not of the body? If the ear say, because I'm not of the eye, am I not of the body? Is not there not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And now God hath set the members, every one in the body, as it hath pleased. Every part of the body is important. Every part of the body is important. Even the appendix. I had to figure out, what does the appendix do? The appendix basically helps the immune system. So I learned that this week, what the appendix actually does. D.L. Moody, over 100 years, who founded some churches, said many people have a false idea about church. They have an idea the church is a place simply to rest, to get in a nice cushion pew, contribute to the charities, listen to the minister, and do their share to keep the church out of bankruptcy. That's all they want. The idea for work for them, actually work in the church, never enters their mind. That's true of many churches. They're not following directions. But the Bible says about churches, or about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he gave some, talking about God giving some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now we know prophets and apostles are no longer around today. But we know there are evangelists and pastors and teachers. But why did God give pastors, evangelists, and teachers for our day? Well, for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting means the maturing. My chief responsibility is help all of us, each of us, mature in our walk with God. That's the goal of an evangelist. That's a goal of a missionary. That's a goal of a teacher, is help us to mature, to help us grow. And how do we grow? Well, we grow like a baby grows by drinking milk, by being fed. A Christian grows by understanding the Word of God and feeding on the Word of God. And then after it's fed, being exercised to do the will of God. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, anytime you have this idea of the faith, is talking about the doctrine of the church. The doctrine of the church, the teaching of the church, is the foundation of the church. Now, some people think, well, doctrine is not important. Different, you don't have a church without doctrine. Because the doctrine is the teachings of the Scripture. What does the Bible say about itself? What's the Bible say about the church? What's the Bible say about Christ, God, the Holy Spirit? What's the Bible say about end times, about all these things? If any of you hear someone say, we don't need good doctrine anymore, we just need good preaching, they haven't quite figured out what's going on up there yet. They haven't quite, they're not mature. That's not a wise statement. I hear a lot of people, though, say, we don't need more doctrine. We just want to have a lot of entertainment and a lot of music and a lot of worship, but we don't want to have any preaching. Dear friend, it's the foolishness of preaching is how people get saved. So you have to have it in the right order. There has to be organization and order in a church. The Bible says in Jude chapter 1, verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to come to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which is once delivered unto the saints. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So the unity is not derived from everybody thinking alike or everybody liking the same types of things, but basically when we focus on God and who He is and what He wants us to do, it's based on the Scriptures. That's why when we gather together, it's primarily to teach and preach the Word of God. Coming to church is not about entertainment. Coming to church is not about having fun. Coming to church is not about just socializing. The central part about coming to church is we gather together around the Word of God to say, thus saith the Lord. What does the Bible say to us so we can learn what the Word of God is saying? And that's what is happening in the church today is the church is getting away from the preaching of the Word of God and going more to tickling people's ears. This last week, someone called me from WUFT and said, hey, I'd like to do an interview with you about why the church in America is declining. And I said, sure, come on. Come on. So he came over Thursday and came over and talked to me a few minutes. And I said, well, one of the reasons why the church is declining is because we're getting away from the Word of God. And the church is following the world. The world is going, continue to go left. And the church is following the world. That's one reason. The second reason is the Bible says there's going to be a falling away. Paul says in Thessalonians that before the Antichrist comes, there's going to be a great falling away. He also talks about to Timothy that in the last days, perilous times are coming, or come. We're in those days, folks. It has to happen. And I hate to see it as an American, the destruction of our country, but as a Christian, what does the Bible say? We must believe what it says. We're coming ultimately to the end. And we know that's true. Before the rapture happens, which can happen tonight, we know there's going to be a falling away. Is there a falling away in church? Well, yeah, there is. See, Easter morning, thank God for the folks we had at Easter morning. But 20 or 30 years ago, this place would have been packed. Churches would be packed in the South on Easter morning. You would have full parking lot. You couldn't find a place to sit. I mean, it would be packed out on Sunday morning on churches. Where today? People going fishing on Sunday morning. People have go to movies on Sunday morning. People spend time with family on Sunday morning. We got to go paint the eggs and chase the Easter bunny on Sunday. Well, that's what we got to go do. Well, Sunday, is that about? Is that about? Is it about bunnies and Easter eggs, or is it about Jesus? What's it about? But those things become more important. And dear friends, those things are going to become more important as we get closer to the end of our age, the age of grace. Paul goes on in verse 14, that we thenceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure, every part maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. So two things happen when the body grows, the church grows as it should. First of all, what happens? We are rescued from spiritual deception. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. So when you come to the church, you should hear the truth. And then what does the truth? The truth, there you go. The truth makes you free. You go out into the world, man, there's all kind of deception out in the world. Turn on TV for 5 minutes, you'll probably get lied to. You turn on the internet, social media, you're probably within a few minutes going to be hearing somebody lying to you. There are scammers and schemers and false teachers everywhere. Everywhere. Constantly trying to misinform you, deceive you. But in the church is a place where we're teaching and preaching the Word of God that you're rescued from spiritual deception. But remember, baby Christians don't quite understand the importance of doctrine and truth. That's why especially for new Christians or young Christians, we need to be especially careful about teaching them the truth of the Word of God. Remember when you were a kid, when you were driving out somewhere, parents and your kids kept asking you, you know, when are we going to get there? And you say, just a little bit longer. You had to say that about 100 times. I remember saying about 100 times when we were going out to Colorado, when are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? Well, we're getting closer. Well, they didn't quite understand the grasp of what it is to go in a car and get all the way to Colorado. Another benefit of building the body is that, we're rescued from spiritual deception, but also spiritual disability. Every joint, every part of the body has a job. The body is not disabled, but coordinated. That's why a true physical body is a picture of a spiritual body called the local church. That's why every person in the church should contribute. Every person should have a part in the ministry, being a part of it. Each one of us has different gifts, different abilities, different skills, but every one of us should be doing something in the church. Imagine the breakfast that was at this last week, the Easter breakfast. Imagine that we had something and someone spilled something. Someone just maybe spilled the grits all over the floor. God forbid you spill the grits. Maybe somebody spilled the grits. Well, hopefully someone in leadership would say, hey, someone just spilled the grits here. Don't walk through the grits. You know, that's not a good thing. Then someone would say to the person who spilled the grits, hey, I'm sorry you spilled the grits. Can I go get you some more grits? Let's set the bowl down. Let's help you get to your table with some grits. And then another person would come by and say, you know what? I'm going to be the person that cleans up the grits. Because someone has to clean the grits, because eventually somebody's not going to see the grits. They're going to walk through the grits, you know? And then somebody, after everything's up, going to have to clean out all the stuff that's left over. But it takes more than just one person. One person is probably not going to say, hey, I don't walk in the grits. The same person's not going to be the person to help the person to the table with the grits, the new grits. They're not going to be the same person to clean the grits. Everybody should be helping out in the situation when there's a problem. And by the way, I have people even tell me, preacher, you know, when you weren't there on Sunday morning, the church came around and they did everything. And I knew you would. We missed the breakfast. We had a little bit at the end. But praise God. Praise God. Everybody pitched in and did the work. That's the goal. And everybody's involved in it. So what can we learn from this Nehemiah chapter 3 that we read about and the construction of this site? Well, first of all, as it pertains to the church, first of all the people who were willing to work were given the opportunity. Everybody, from the priest to the noble born to the common to the single man, the women, to the professionals, to the politicians, to the residents, to the outsiders, to the craftsmen, to the artists, everybody was given an opportunity. And I'm also thankful that once a person becomes a member of the church, you have there's so many opportunities to do things. Whether it's in the nursery or in the choir or helping out back with the children Sunday morning or Wednesday night, there's so many opportunities in a church. Obviously, as a church nowadays, we're working with children. Everybody has to go through a background check. That's just for safety for all of us. It's normal. But once that is done, that's passed, especially working with kids, everybody has an opportunity. The Bible says there in verse 1 that Elisha the high priest rose up from the brethren of the priests, and they built the sheep gate and sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even the Tower of Mia. They sanctified it and the Tower of Hanani. The towers were on the west side of the sheep gate. It is significant that Nehemiah gave the priests this particular location as it was near the sheep and the lambs. They were brought to the temple for sacrifice. They would enter the sheep gate, which was holy ground. Interesting enough, that sheep gate, which Jesus would have walked through to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, is now closed. But someday that gate will be back open. Secondly, not only were all the people given the opportunity, secondly, some of the people did not necessarily know how to do the work. Maybe they had never done construction like that before. Maybe they never picked up a hammer. But the Bible says in verse 9, the next of them, Raphadiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. Even rulers and goldsmiths and politicians, perfume makers, some of them became bricklayers. Just because you weren't taught as a trade to do something doesn't mean you can't do it. Well, you just have to learn, you know. As long as you read the instructions and have a willingness, and that's the key, right? The key is having the ability, having the want to do it. That's where it all comes to, having the want to do it. Thirdly, some of the people were more able to do work than others, and that's a natural thing, because of time, because of opportunities that they are. Some people can do more than other people work. It's so in the church. Some people can help out in the church more than others. Some people have jobs. Some people have other responsibilities. Some can, some can't. But the interesting phrase here that's repeated throughout this whole part is they repaired another piece, meaning they all had things they could do. Of course, some did more work than others. A fourth characteristic of a good church is found that some of the people are willing to work in more difficult places than others. There's some people say, hey, I'm willing to, as in verse 14, the dung gate repaired by Malachi, the son of Rechab, the ruler of the Bacharim, he built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof. This was talked about as the dung gate or the refuse gate. Of course, this would not maybe be the most popular place to work. But somebody has to do the work. Somebody has to do the dirty jobs. I think there's an actual show about that, right? Dirty jobs. About people willing to do what needs to be done, you know. Maybe it's not the most fun thing. Maybe it's not the most entertaining thing. But everybody has to come in and pitch in to get things done, which is important. Fifth, some people were willing to work harder than others. Some people, you know, just had a gift to work hard. Some people brought up to work hard. Some people not brought up to work hard. But everybody has the opportunity to do it. The Bible says in verse 20, after them brake the Zabi earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. You had some people who were willing just to do the work, to jump into it. The Hebrew word here basically is talking about doing it zealously, to burn or to glow, to give it with all their heart. And everybody is different. Some people work hard. Some people hardly work. It's just the nature of meeting people. Number six, some people who were able to do work would not work. There were some people who could have worked, but they didn't. The Bible says in verse 5, the necks of them, the Tokites repaired, but the nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. The group of these nobles said, no, we're not going to work. No, they were they were going to enjoy the benefit of it, but they didn't necessarily do any work. And that's true sometimes in church. You have some folks who are willing to work, some people are not willing to work. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, for you see the calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Who does God use primarily? He uses humble people. He uses humble people. Proud people? God rarely uses proud people because they're too proud to do the work. Why would they humble themselves to work on a Saturday to clean up a churchyard? I got more important things to do. Well, dear friend, I can't think of a more important thing to take my Saturday and clean the church. I mean, it's God's house, right? You know? God's house should look nicer than our own house. It should be taken care of. So that's why we set aside two times a year to do that. And number seven, all the people who work with their hands reveal the condition of their hearts. It says in verse 6, we built up the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. You can tell a lot about the group of people by their willingness to do something. You can tell a lot about people. Where's their dedication? Where's their heart? A lot of people say things that they will do. But saying it and doing it is two different things. That's why every one of us in the church, every person in the church, every member of the church should have some type of responsibility. Whether you're 25 or 85, everybody can do something. The question is not if you can. The question is, will you? Will you be willing to do something? You know, will you be willing, even if it's uncomfortable to you? It might be uncomfortable. Maybe someone will come up and ask you to do something that you don't normally do. Well, would you try it? You know? Would you be willing to try it? The question is, what is your ministry at North Gainesville Baptist Church? What is your ministry? What do you do? Somebody was asking you, somebody, a family member said, hey, I see you go to church on Sunday. What do you do there? Well, I sing in the choir, or I volunteer for the nursery, or what do you do? Everybody can do something. See, if everybody does something, it relieves the responsibility for those who are doing a lot of things. The question is, what will you do? We have all type of things. I need somebody to change this church sign. I'm doing it right now. I'd like somebody to take that job. We need more people cutting grass, killing fire ants. Killing birds, killing fire ants, not birds. Killing fire ants, cutting weeds. Thank God we've had a couple guys jump on that. We there's all kinds of things to do. Man, there's all kinds of things to do. If you ever say, preacher, can you just help me? Show me what we can do. Man, there's all kinds of things to do. And I think of this: if the Bible says that we're rewarded by just giving a cup of cold water in the name of an apostle, how much more is it profitable for us and we'll be rewarded for eternity if we do something with the right attitude for God. I just encourage you, dear friend, if you have some of you have a lot of time on your hands. Instead of watching the old TV or looking at that screen, man, if you got some time during the week, get in touch with myself, Brother Jimmy, Brother Pete, and we can help you, encourage you to do some things for Jesus. One of these days, every one of us is going to stand before Jesus Christ, right? There's no doubt about that. And I wonder if one of the questions he asks us, because he already knows, is what did you do for me? Last 10 years of your life, did you sit on the sofa and watch the screen? Did you waste your time working for Pace Pearls? Well, it won't matter a million years from now. Or did you do something for Jesus? Oh, dear friend, I can't imagine how important it is. What is your ministry? Teamwork makes the dream work. What is your responsibility? Opportunities are everywhere. Will you take the responsibility to do something more for Jesus Christ? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for the opportunities you give us, Lord, to serve you. Lord, we don't know how long we'll have in this life. No, tomorrow is not promised for any of us. But Lord, while we have the life that you give us, we have the breath that you give us to breathe, the hands that you give us to use, the feet that you use us to walk, the sense of smell and hearing and the feeling, God, I pray you'd help us to use it to minister, Lord, to your church. May it be said of all of us in this room that we did something. We were busy serving God by serving the church. Lord, thank you for many in this room. And many that are not here that regularly, on a weekly basis, some on a daily basis, are busy helping this church. This is nothing that one man or two people or three people can do. It's impossible. All of us, Lord, are responsible, Lord, to help the church. May we be busy doing it while we have the opportunity. With head bowed, eyes closed, maybe God has spoken to your heart about being busy doing more for the Lord. Whatever it may be. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, dear friend, I encourage you to trust Him. Realizing the fact that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. But knowing Christ as your Savior, could you ask yourself, if someone was to ask you, what are you doing for the church? What part do you have in the church? What would you say? Question is, what can you do? The question is, what will you do for Jesus? As the piano plays tonight, maybe God has spoken to your heart about this or some other area. Maybe God has spoken to you about something even else, something not even related to this topic tonight. And say, preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight. Would you pray for me that I would be obedient to the Lord in the area that He's speaking to me in tonight? I want to be obedient to Him. I want to follow Him. I want to do exactly what He wants me to do. Whatever it may be, I want to just do it to my best ability. I want to please the Lord with my life. Is that you tonight? Say, preacher, would you pray for me that I would do that? Anybody like that tonight? Preacher, I pray for me that I would do exactly what God wants me to do in the area that He's speaking to me tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? God has spoken to your heart about a specific area. Maybe about this or some other area in your life. Maybe about joining up with us, being a part of us. I believe every Christian ought to be a member of a local New Testament, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Join up with us. Be a part of us. Help us. We seek to win the lost for Christ's sake. What is God speaking to you about tonight? Let's stand to our feet tonight. What has God impressed on your heart to do for Him? The altar is open. Would you come? Father, we just thank you for the privilege we have to serve you by serving the church. We thank you for all the people in the nearly 34 years. All the people, from Brother Bill Bells and his wife Charlotte, Brother Chandler, Pastor Gary and his dear wife Patricia. And Lord, thank you for their sacrifice and oh, so many others, so many hands that went together from the past to make this church what it is today. Thank you for those who are serving today. Lord, thank you for those who are willing to do things and, properly and orderly, who are, take the initiative to do things, Lord. Thank you for their willingness, their desire, their hunger. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, Lord, would sense that responsibility, that need for us to serve you, Lord. It's not what we can get, but what we can give. Help us to be givers, giving of our time, giving of our talent, giving of our treasure. Oh, God.